Paul is teaching the saints in the Church of Thessalonica about the second coming of Christ. We learned of that in our last broadcast. Today we will study briefly 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 1 through 6. Paul writes in these verses, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." In our last broadcast, we considered the events of that final day when Christ appeared. The verses we studied then taught us how Christ would come. The passage we study today teaches when Christ comes. Christ comes again as he promised, but when will Christ come? That is a pertinent question. Paul had just explained to the saints of Thessalonica of those who were alive and remaining when Christ came. Did this mean Christ was coming in their lifetime? Obviously not. Can we even say that Christ is coming in our lifetime? Can we say Christ is coming in the lifetime of our children or our grandchildren? "Of the times and seasons ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night." This is what Paul writes at the outset of the verses we consider today. And then Paul proceeds to give us instruction of the time of Christ's appearance. With it, he gives us practical instruction of our need to watch for that coming of Christ right now in our lifetime. The good man of the house and his wife are ready to lay themselves down to sleep. It is early evening. It is dark outside, and they must rise again at daybreak to begin anew their day's labors. The good man routinely checks the doors of the house to see that they are all bolted tight. Confident that the house is secure for the night, he retires. He is confident that his house is safe, and he falls asleep thinking to himself, peace and safety. But sometime in the night, the thief, who knows his profession well, breaks into the man's house and steals away the good man's wealth. He came swiftly, unexpectedly, and suddenly. No one was expecting him. Who was to know that the thief was coming, and who was to know in what watch of the night he was coming? So the good man was caught totally unprepared. He was not watching, neither was he prepared for the coming of that thief. He was sleeping, and he lost his prized possessions. Such is the coming of the thief. He depends on the element of surprise. He comes when no one is expecting him. He descends upon the house suddenly and swiftly. The Bible uses this figure in a number of places to describe the coming of Jesus Christ. And the passage we consider today, as we read, does too. In verse 2 we read, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Throughout the verses we examine today, that same figure is used in order to instruct us concerning Christ's return. How does this earthly figure teach us concerning the spiritual truth of when Christ comes? The obvious meaning is, Christ's coming is going to be swift, sudden, and unexpected. This is true, first of all, from the point of view of the wicked world itself. This world will have fallen asleep, just as the good man of the house. Jesus tells us that just as in the days of Noah, so also at the end of time, men will be going on with life as if this world will never end. They will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Life will be going on as usual. The faithful Church of Jesus Christ that keeps warning them to watch for Christ's return will be mocked and ignored. Where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. From a spiritual point of view, therefore, this world will have fallen asleep calmly and confidently. They will say to themselves, peace and safety. Being soundly asleep from a spiritual point of view, this world will not be prepared at all for, or even expecting, the coming of the thief, Jesus Christ. That's true as far as the time of Christ's coming as well. He comes at a time when we least expect it. He tells us he comes soon, and that he comes quickly, but just exactly when Christ is going to return, no man knows. Not only is this idea established in the figure of a thief appearing suddenly in the night, but it is supported by another picture Paul uses in verse 3 of our text. We find there the picture of a woman in travail, a woman who is about to be delivered of a baby. The idea is that suddenly, without a clue, that first hard labor pain hits. The woman has been expecting it all along. She knows it is close, but she does not know exactly when that first hard labor pain will hit that will bring about the birth of her baby. Christ's coming will be sudden and unexpected. He comes when this world believes that they have found their way, that they have found the answer to all the ills and problems of society. Christ comes when the kingdom of man in this world has established itself and is convinced that it is on the verge of establishing itself without God, at a time when no man can figure out, which no man will be able to determine or prophesy of, Christ will come. And that coming will not be quietly, in rapture, but it will be a coming with shouts and trumpets unto the destruction of the wicked of this world. Now it is important for us to realize the point Paul makes here before moving on. We have taken note of the fact that there was an error about Christ's coming that prevailed in this church of Thessalonica. Many of the saints there believed that Christ would come in their lifetime. In fact, some of them had even quit working and were idly waiting for Christ's return. The instruction here is meant to combat the error of those who thought they knew when Christ would return. Notice how Paul begins these verses in 1 and 2. Of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh. Paul explains at the outside, I really have no need to write to you about the time of Christ's return, because ye know about it perfectly. What you know through my preaching and through the words of Christ himself is that that day comes as a thief in the night. You cannot speculate about a particular time in which Christ returns. You cannot predict that Christ is going to come in your lifetime. It is not your job to predict that time. He comes as a thief. That is all that Christ himself reveals to you. Now, it is your job to watch. No man knows the time of Christ's return, just as no man knows of the hour in which that thief will come to rob a house, or no man knows when that labor pain will strike to bring forth that baby. But having established this fact, Paul goes on to say this in verse 4, But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now that's striking. Paul tells those who believe that the coming of Christ ought not to overtake them as a thief in the night. God's people, who in faith look for the second coming of Christ, will be prepared for the thief when he strikes unexpectedly. We may not know in what watch of the night that thief comes, but nevertheless we are those who will sit up all night, if we have to be prepared for the coming of the thief. Christ comes as a thief, but we will not be as the wicked world who sleeps. We will be sitting there awake and watching for the thief that he might not break in on us unprepared. All this is true because we know perfectly of Christ's coming. We ought not to overlook that perfect knowledge that we have of Christ's coming. That is not just the knowledge about some facts of Christ's coming. It is not some kind of human deduction we have made for ourselves that Christ comes. It is a perfect knowledge. That is, it is the knowledge of faith, a knowledge that most people of this world do not have of Christ's coming. When the unbelieving man, inside the church as well as outside, is warned and instructed concerning the swift return and sudden return of Christ, he does not believe. His reasoning is blinded by unbelief. He knows, yet he does not know that Christ comes again. He knows about it, but he does not believe it. And for that reason, too, Christ will come upon that unbelieving man suddenly and unexpectedly. Christ's coming will overtake him with sudden destruction. But God's people have been given a perfect knowledge that Christ is coming. We know he comes soon and suddenly, and we by all means believe it. We may at times grow weary in watching. We may not at times be so alert, but we know perfectly that Christ is coming. We believe that. Paul emphasizes this blessed truth in verse 5, where he teaches that God's people are children of the light and not children of darkness. We were at one time, of course, when we were lost in our unbelief and sin, we were children of darkness too. Sin had its hold over our hearts, minds, souls, and body. Our hearts and minds were darkened to the truth. We lived in the night of sin. We could not, nor did we desire to know God and the things of the kingdom of heaven. Of the times and the seasons, we could not know because God had not yet revealed them to us. And that's true of countless throngs of people today. Our world is lost in the darkness of sin and unbelief. These are the children of the night to which Paul refers in verses 5 through 7. Those still stumbling about in their unbelief. Those whose hearts God has not yet opened or will not open at all, and most of which whose hearts never will be opened for the children of the night. Yet, God is gracious, is he not? He has proved that in our lives. He still proves that in the hearts and lives of many people yet today. He graciously has poured out into the hearts of his people the light of salvation. He has laid the burden of our sin and unbelief on the shoulders of Christ, and Christ has carried away the burden of our sin on the cross. He yearned there for God's people that gift of faith, and included in that faith is the certain knowledge that Christ returns as a thief in the night. We are given to know and believe that the thief is coming and is coming soon, and that we should be prepared. How thankful we can be for the light of the knowledge of God we have received in Christ Jesus. How blessed we are that God has sent forth the Spirit of Christ into our hearts that he might open our spiritual eyes and understanding. We pray that for others. But now we know perfectly that Christ comes soon, swiftly, unexpectedly, and we watch for him. Carefully, we keep our eyes open. We do not know what hour of the night he will return, but we are prepared and we are watching. We know that the time of Christ's return is getting very, very close. How do we know that Christ's coming is getting very close? Because believers know the times and the seasons. God has revealed to them the times, first of all. Now, the Greek term for times is used in our English word chronology or chronological. And when we use that term even in our own language, it refers to a sequence or succession of events that takes place in time. If we put something into chronological order, for example, we are putting it into the sequence of events in which it happened. What God's word here means, therefore, is that we are given to know perfectly the sequence of events as they take place in the history and development of this world. That's quite a thing to know. Unbelieving man has been trying to find out the purpose of this world and its development since time began, and he never has. Well, the believer has. He's given a knowledge and understanding of the order of events that takes place in history. We know that all of history is led and ordered by God from eternity. We know that God has ordered all things in such a way that through the saving of a church unto himself will glorify himself God created all things for that reason. Man fell into sin for that reason. Christ has come for that reason. The church is defended, guided, and preserved for that reason. The end of the world will come for that reason. Every event in creation in history leads to that perfect end that God will glorify His name through all of these events. We are given to know the times. We understand what the development of this world is all about. And we are also given to know the seasons. Now, this term refers to certain fixed periods of time. We know the various fixed periods of time in this world. We know of the period of time before the flood. We know the period of time from the flood to Christ, the period of the old dispensation of God's covenant. In God's word, believers are given to know perfectly the period of the new dispensation of God's covenant, the season or period of time from Christ's first appearance unto His second coming. We know as well what will indicate the close of that period of time. And we will be watching all the signs that indicate that this season in God's chronological time clock is coming to a close. The Bible everywhere gives us signs that point us to the imminent return of Christ. We are given to know what will transpire in history before Christ returns. We watch these signs as they develop in creation, as those signs develop in the nations, as those signs develop in the church, in order that we might be prepared for the coming of the thief. Now you and I are given by God a command in the last part of verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. This command is based upon the knowledge we have of Christ's coming. It is based on the fact that we know He comes suddenly and unexpectedly at a time when no man knows. Don't sleep. Don't be drunken, but watch and be sober. Always be prepared, for we do not know what watch of the night in which the thief will appear. Ah, that is the very error of those who wish to predict a certain hour in which Christ comes, or day. If I knew that the thief was going to come at, let's say, 4 o'clock in the morning, then I need not worry for the rest of the night, just so I'm ready at that particular time for him. If I knew exactly when the birth of my baby was going to take place, as I know many do today, of course, then I need not worry about the labor pains until that particular time. If I knew exactly the year, month, day, or hour that Christ returned, then I wouldn't have any reason to watch right now, would I? All I would have to do is wait until that time and then rather hurriedly and quickly prepare myself so that I'm ready when He does return. There would be no need to ready myself now or every day anew. And that is why Christ does not reveal the exact time of His coming. He doesn't want us to know. He does not want us to know in order that right now, today, and tomorrow, and every day of our lives, we might be preparing ourselves for His coming. He wants us to live every day of our lives as if He's coming tomorrow. We must always be prepared, always anticipating His return. And that in order that we might walk a holy life in this world. God does not want His children to sleep. Those who sleep, sleep in the night, in the darkness. We are children of the day and of the light. We may not sleep. In other words, we may not grow weary in our expectation of Christ's return. We must never become lethargic as far as our spiritual lives are concerned. We may not lay aside the fight of faith. We must not grow weary in the battle against sin and Satan. We must not close our eyes to the events that are going on all around us and ignore them. We must not let our guard down as far as our battle against our enemies is concerned. We must live antithetically in this world and not build bridges between us and the ungodly wicked. Neither may we be drunk, spiritually drunk. We may not become intoxicated with the pleasures and treasures of this present world. We may not consume ourselves in them so that we become worldly-minded and lose sight of our home and glory. Our heads may not whirl with earthly luxuries and pleasures, so that as a result we lose sight of the times and the seasons. This world ends, and we must watch for that end. This means that we must be sober, first of all. Our minds must be clear and bright. Our spiritual senses must be honed so that we watch the signs around us. We must read them correctly, too, in order to understand just when it is that the thief comes. Our lives must be filled with spiritual concerns, and we must be busy in our study of God's Word, in worship and in prayer. All these means equip us to be sober and our eyesight keen. Then we will watch. We will stand in these last times with our eyes wide open and waiting. Every day, each day, the thief comes. Are you prepared to meet him when he comes? If the good man is prepared, the thief will not catch him unawares. Are you prepared for Christ's coming? Can he come tomorrow? And will you and your household be ready to meet your Lord? Watch. He comes soon. Prepare. Then we will be ready when Jesus comes. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, Thou art good unto us in giving us the perfect knowledge that Jesus Christ comes again. We believe that. And Thou art good unto us because Thou dost give unto us the signs of Christ's coming. Now give us diligent eyes and clear minds that we might look for that coming of Jesus Christ and prepare ourselves for that coming, living a life of holiness and godliness before Thee. And Father, where we grow weary and we fail to watch, forgive us. Give us strength to do anew for today and tomorrow, that we might look unto Thee, our God, for all things. For Jesus' sake, we ask these things. Amen.